Hey everyone, what's up? Welcome back to the Case Interview Podcast. Just a quick heads up, what you're going to listen to right now is a clip from an interview Bruno and I did with a former McKinsey AP called Nicolas Constantinescu. If you enjoy this clip, I highly recommend you listen to the full interview, which you can find in episode 20 of this podcast. All right, let's go on to the clip.
From your experience, what are the things that you've learned candidates do wrong in their preparation, especially at the beginning of it? And what are things that they do right?
Maybe I'll just start big picture. I think, so if you kind of take, I'm going to simplify things and it's going to sound a little bit like a caricature and maybe it's a little bit unfair.
Okay.
But I find that caricature sometimes helps to drive a point.
And just for context, the people you work with are mostly master's students in European schools, is that right? Or MBA students?
And MBA and master's, yes.
Okay.
Correct. In European schools, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So the caricature is kind of the following, that like if you kind of like take the least common denominator of kind of like the advice about case interview prep that people hear, It kind of goes something like this. Three parts. Buy my book. So they'll hear the experts say, buy my book.
Yeah.
Second thing they'll hear is like, learn these frameworks or as many frameworks as you can. And the third thing that they'll hear is do, you know, as many cases, mock cases as you can until you kind of drop dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm simplifying and exaggerating.
Yeah.
But basically, to me, that all kind of sounds like a very brute force approach.
Yeah.
That is, and also a formula-based approach rather than a more nuanced, critical thinking, smart approach. So I think the people who do things really smart, what do? They do a mix between case interview practice and skill building, like, you know, skill drills.
Yeah.
So for example, simply practicing structuring, let's say, or simply practicing mental math or whatever, right? So, but it's really a mix. Like, you know, Rafa Nadal plays practice matches and he practices his serve. Yeah, he'll do 20 minutes of serves, just serving. Okay, so that's one. Another thing that smart candidates do is when they practice cases, they actually practice it with a mix of different people. And so they take a segmented approach. They'll practice, they'll use most of the practice they'll do with like other candidates such as themselves. And they'll use that in order to basically get volume in and basically build pattern recognition.
What do you mean by that?
Pattern recognition. Well, so there's pattern recognition about types of problems, for example, right? There's no such thing as a unique problem.
Yeah.
Every problem is part of some kind of a family in some form or another, right?
And they have their own uniquenesses, but the pattern is similar. Yeah.
That's right, right? So every problem has kind of like some portion of it, which is kind of like that's kind of universal, some portion of it, which is semi-universal. And then it has indeed a couple of aspects that are unique. But the thing is, recognizing what is kind of universal or semi-universal about that problem will make you so much of a better problem, problem solver, more effective and more efficient, right? So volume helps with pattern recognition, but the smart candidates also will practice with, for example, experts, like real experts. So, well, actually here, I actually like to distinguish between the, you know, candidates such as themselves, connoisseurs. So connoisseurs are kind of like former consultants or existing consultants. And so the thing about them is that like they're people who basically because of who, you know, what they've already proven that they can do it.
Yeah.
They've already done it in real life. Like, so they've actually done projects, et cetera. So they have a different kind of perspective to bring in terms of the feedback than another candidate, right? And then I also think that there's kind of like what I call the expert, which is like the next level above, which is the existing interviewer or former interviewer, because they also have another kind of perspective, which is they have seen candidates and they were responsible for evaluating those candidates.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, you have some of the people you practice with are kind of like eye to eye with you. Then you have others that have a bit more of like, they have the hot air balloon view. And then you have others that have the helicopter view.
And Shaw, I add another layer, another level, which is the expert who's helped a lot of people through a lot of time. Because what I see from a lot of people, for example, a person who was an interviewer and they start coaching candidates, but they have just started, what I see them doing a lot is that they put their own biases in how they like candidates to perform into the other person. So, for example, if they like very quick structures, just 80-20, and then they'll dive deep into it later, they'll tell the candidate who does the really detailed stuff to never do that again. But then some other interviewers like it, and you're laughing right now, so I'll let you speak.
I'm laughing because I think it's so astute what you're saying. It's so smart and perceptive what you're saying. You're totally right. I'm also laughing because, you know, as you were saying this, I'm kind of reflecting on my own behavior, and I realized like I was guilty. I probably still am.
Everyone was at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the years of experience add to that, because you get perspective on, you hear what your clients or candidates that you've helped say about the feedback they were given, and you were like, oh, maybe there are other types of interviewers out there.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. I think you're absolutely spot on. Absolutely. Definitely. So there's a difference between somebody who's recently started to do coaching and versus somebody who's been doing it for a while.
But anyway, finishing your thoughts, you have these layers. Are you implying that everyone should do coaching?
No. Well, I'm not sure I'm implying that. But what I'm saying for sure is that, like, if you're a candidate, you should practice with all three types of people.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, you should do more with other candidates because, you know, this is where you get the volume gives you the pattern recognition. But you should make sure that you have enough doses of doing it with the, you know, connoisseurs and the experts, mm-hmm. so that you basically get the range of different perspectives.
Thank you for listening to the Case Interview Podcast. If you want to get more insights into how to prepare like the best candidates and increase your chances of getting your dream offer, you can listen to our entire back catalog, starting from episode 1. In fact, some of our best episodes are the ones we recorded early on. And if you want to go deeper and learn our best case-solving techniques, we welcome you to join our free course called Case Interview Fundamentals. And you can get instant access to it at craftingcases.com/course. Now, I hope to see you in the next episode, or in one of the previous ones.